welcome to the Dear Loves Just Breathe podcast with me, Elisa Lindstrom. I'm here to help you declutter your home in an easy and authentic way so you can have less clutter in your home and your life. Hello and welcome to the podcast. Today I'm excited to have on Vicki Haig, who is a hypnotherapist. Vicki and I met through a group coaching program. And I just love what she does, and I wanted to share her to all of you. So welcome, Vicki.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, inviting me on. I'm really excited.
So am I. So can you explain a little bit about what you do, or maybe explain how you get there, whichever one you want to do first?
Yeah, so I'll go with what I do. So I'm a solution-focused hypnotherapist, which means I use hypnosis as part of my therapy. So I don't only work in hypnosis, I work in talking therapy and then use hypnosis to kind of power it up, if you like, and really build on what we've been doing in the talking part of the session. And I work in solution-focused work, which means that I work with my clients to focus on where they want to move towards. So we don't necessarily dig around in past issues, more focus on where they want to be moving towards. Doesn't mean that we're ignoring things that have gone up in the past. We're just not going over them again and again. We're more looking at the future that they want to have and the places they want to move towards.
So it's like you recognize what happened in the past, but you look towards the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And all the kind of small steps that we can start making to help us kind of get there. I work a lot in stress management and kind of controlling our stress levels and the things that are kind of causing us stress. And we like to use the metaphor of a bucket a lot. And, you know, that we've got this bucket that we're filling up with all the things that are going on in our life, but also the way that we're thinking about those things that are going on in our life. So if we've had things in the past that we're kind of constantly keep going over and thinking about a lot, and then they come into my room, and if we were just focusing on that and talking about that a lot, we'd almost be adding it back into that stress bucket again and again and again. So we start to focus on those small steps that are going to move them forward and the things that they can do to help lower what's going into that stress bucket. And then that is going to help them deal with all the things that have happened. They're going to be in a much better place to deal with the things that have happened in the past because they're coming at it with a much lower kind of stress bucket, if you like. So they'll be able to access parts of their brain that'll be able to deal with that much better than if we were trying to deal with all those past issues with a very full stress bucket.
That is so cool. So what brought you into hypnotherapy and therapy in general?
Yeah. So, well, originally I did a degree in social psychology. So I've always been fascinated with the mind and the world around us, how it impacts us. And I then actually trained in teaching, in primary school teaching, but still I taught little kids and I just love to learn about how we develop as humans. I worked in I was the special educational needs coordinator in our school. So I worked with a lot of different agencies to kind of help get the best for each of the children that we were working with. And then when I had my own children, I kind of came away from teaching for a little while, went into kind of building my own little businesses, got into networking meetings where I met lots of different people running lots of different businesses. And I was always drawn to people working in therapy, to hypnotherapists in particular. At one point I had some hypnotherapy and I loved the way that the person I worked with kind of did the whole process. So I found out about where she trained and then kind of went on that training course myself, which is one called CPHT over here in the UK. And they train in solution focus, but also with a kind of real focus on the neuroscience, like what's going on in our brains. And so that really fascinated me. So I went off and I retrained and then set myself up in kind of independent practice from there. So that's kind of a quick overview of kind of how I went from my degree and teaching into hypnotherapy. But there's always been throughout my whole life that interest in how we work And I'm still totally fascinated in that. So I'm constantly reading and researching and looking about, you know, how we work and how the things around us impact us and shape us to be who we are, but also the power we have to change things. You know, so often I work with clients and they're just like, I just thought this was how I was or how I did things or who I am. And, you know, they realize through the process that they have a lot more kind of control over that when they're in the right space to be able to do that. So that's amazing to kind of really learn how much control we have and delve a little bit more into the brain. And that's just fascinating.
So that's really cool. So hypnotherapy itself, I kind of know what it is and I've got an idea what it is. And in my brain, it's more like
the clock.
You're getting very sleepy. Is that, that's a very Hollywood way of looking at it.
Yeah.
But can you explain sort of, so someone comes to you for therapy and you guys talk about what's going on in their life and then you talk about what's going on in the past and where they want to go in the future and like how they see their life and how can they overcome what's going on.
Yeah.
So what would you do with hypnotherapy with a therapy client? My words are not coming together, but yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, that's the main, you know, I do a lot of work trying to help people understand what hypnosis is for a lot of people, you know, especially over here in the UK, you know, their only kind of experience of hypnosis is in stage shows. So like you say, that very Hollywood type, you know, where they've seen somebody being brought up on stage and made to do something silly or act in a certain way, which is very different to what we are doing in hypnotherapy. So that's like stage hypnotism. And they're very skilled in what they do, but there's lots of things that they do to enable to get the right people up on stage, if you like. So it's not necessarily things people doing stuff against their will. They've just kind of got to that place and chose the right people that are going to get up there and do the things. But that's very different to when we're doing it in therapy. So it's very much like a kind of a deep relaxation. So some of the first things I say to people is that I have no control over anybody. If they want to get up and walk out of the session while we're doing hypnosis, they absolutely can. It's a little bit like they're just there, relaxed, laying back, listening. And sometimes their mind might wander off, but then they'll kind of come back and focus on my words. So they might not listen and hear every single word I'm saying because their mind might wander away. But generally, they're just kind of focused and listening. So it's like a deep focused state of relaxation. And when we go into that part of our brain, we're much more open to suggestions. So people's brains will kind of take on the suggestions that work for them, you know, and that's why it works really well after we've done the talking part, because we'll start to have kind of narrowed down what it is that they want to do, where they want to move towards. And then we're almost kind of then using the hypnosis to help them build on that, to help them go into the part of their brain that's almost going to start connecting those dots better. We quieten down the survival part of our brain that's on that high alert to danger, and we quieten down the more conscious part of our brain. And then we have much more access to the subconscious part, which is a huge part of our brain. And that's where we can start to really take on the things that are going to move us towards where we want to kind of move towards. So that's really how hypnosis works. It's just taking people into that deep state of relaxation. In some ways, it may feel very similar to if people have experienced meditation. And one of the main differences between meditation and hypnosis is meditation is more about kind of clearing your mind. Whereas in hypnosis, we use suggestions. So it's more kind of goal orientated and goal focused in helping people get towards where they want to go, as opposed to just giving them that space where they're just totally clear in their mind.
That's so, so cool. I love this. Okay. yeah. I was really thinking like, oh my gosh, is it like someone's going to have to turn into a chicken or make chicken noises or something like that?
It's one of those
I didn't really think
questions.
That's what you did, but that's what, you know, I was like the deeps, but thinking of it more like,
it's absolutely
more like meditation, but
people think when they're coming to me.
People, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, or guided. So, I said more like meditation, but a little bit more guided. So yeah, it's for clients, it's actually a really lovely way to the session. You know, there are the vast majority of people will end my sessions feeling quite enthused to kind of go out there and, you know, get on with what they want to get on with after having a really lovely state of relaxation. So yeah, nothing like making people cluck like a chicken or dance around the room. But that really is, it's so common. That's what people have seen the most of. That's what they kind of believe it to be. And quite often I get people who you know, may want to come and just want me to fix it, you know, and think that through hypnosis I will just be able to fix the problem, where it's a lot of you know, the client going away and doing the work in between. I can't just kind of click my fingers and switch something in their brain to make them think a different way, but I can help them figure out the things that they need to do to start building those new pathways in their brain that then will help them think a different way. But there's work involved.
Right. Because because I think the other thing that is a misconception is that like, oh, I have a smoking problem. I'm going to go to a hypnotherapist and I'm going to listen to those. I feel like in the 70s and 80s, there are all these tapes that people would listen to, like, I'm listening to a hypnotherapist to stop smoking or to stop, you know, overeating or compulsive gambling. And they would listen to these tapes and it would be a hypnotherapist probably doing what you do, but
yeah.
And I'm sure it was helpful. I don't mean to dismiss what that did, but what you're saying is there's so many more pieces to it of like actual therapy, talking about what's happened in the past, looking into all of that, and then creating this hypnotherapy situation where you have tailored it for them, right?
So many different types of hypnotherapy out there. You know, I only really know what I practice in solution-focused hypnotherapy. But yeah, you know, there are some that work really well for people. But I think when you're kind of just listening to a track, it may work for some people, but it depends on where they're at and what they're able to kind of take on themselves. Whereas when you're coming to see somebody and you're doing it one-to-one, there's often lots of things that need to be addressed before you're going to be able to move to that place that you want to move towards. And like I say, we don't really talk about like the past, but we just look at what those steps and things are to help reduce that stress load. I mean, stress impacts us in so many ways, and often ways that we don't even think are linked to stress. And when we start to reduce that stress, all those things that we want to do will start to kind of happen. You know, but it's, there are many different ways that of hypnosis and hypnotherapy out there. But yeah, I can't really comment on how effective all the other ways are. But I know that this way is really effective for the people I work with.
That's awesome. You're able to do this with people throughout the world, not just in the UK.
Yeah, absolutely. Hypnotherapy works really well, either in person or over Zoom, because people just need to be in a space where they can, you know, relax and in a quiet space. So I find no difference in working with clients over Zoom or working with them, you know, in my space here in the UK. So I do both, and it's as effective as long as people that I'm working with over Zoom have a place where they can go that they're not going to be interrupted and they can go into the relaxation part kind of without being disturbed. So it's really effective both ways.
Oh, that's excellent, because I was really thinking that it would be like a governing body, like licensing, like you couldn't do it outside of the UK for licensing reasons, but it's you can do it anywhere in the world. You can help someone in Thailand, for instance.
Yeah, absolutely. So it just depends. There are probably certain countries that I would have to look at if people were kind of coming to me, because everything I do is governed by UK law. So there are certain countries that that might not work with, but generally, if people are happy to come in and I accept that it's governed by the UK laws and all of the regulations that I'm under here in the UK, then I can work with people in other countries as well. Absolutely.
Vicky, do you have any takeaways for anyone listening if they are under, like, if they notice that they've been pretty stressed out recently? Is there anything that you would suggest for them that maybe they can do to help that?
Yeah, absolutely. So as a kind of like more general tip, when we're dealing with high stress, we can often be, really focused on making that big change that's just going to make it all better. And it's really hard to kind of bring it back because we just want it to be really different. But then we focus on making this big change and that will make it all better. And then it's so kind of far away that it's really hard to achieve that. So then we don't achieve that. And then we feel worse because we're like, I just want this to be better. And then we're not better. We're not feeling better. We're still feeling highly stressed. And then we're almost adding more into that stress bucket again that I was talking about before. So I work with a lot of people kind of focusing on what they next very, very small steps will be. So if I put it in the example of something like going to the gym, before you go there, before you even get into the room and get to the gym, you've got to think about, have you got the right equipment? Have you got the right clothes? Have you even got the right shoes? All of those types of things. So it's kind of bringing it back to what's that very first small step you need to do before you're going to the gym 5 times a week, before you're kind of building up to that big goal. Or, if you're finding it really hard to get out of the house, the first small step might be getting up and brushing your teeth. It might not be getting out of the house. So it's even though you want to achieve that big goal, it's looking at what those small things are going to be first. And when you've done those first small things, focus on that and, focus on how great that was. Not that I'm not there at that goal yet, but more I've done this and I've built this up. And when we start taking those actions, that helps us create momentum. So when we start taking those small steps, we feel good rather than constantly trying to hit that big step, not doing it and feeling bad. We do those small steps, we achieve them, and we feel good. So that can really help us. And then I think the other thing I'd kind of as a small recommendation, because I do this every session with all my clients, is kind of focus back in on what's been good each day. If we've not had a great day, something's happened in that day, we're like, the day was rubbish. And it might have just been one part of the day that wasn't very good, but that's all we focused on. Because our brain's kind of wired to do that. It's wired to focus on the negative stuff first, because that's the danger. Sometimes we need to kind of bring that back into balance a little bit. And a way of doing that is to maybe just sit at the end of the day and list 5 things that have been good. It doesn't have to be big, massive things. It can be, like, I had a lovely cup of tea in peace, or the kids smiled and that made me laugh, or they said something really nice, or it was a really sunny day, or I got out for a walk, or anything. Just those small little moments that have felt good for you, whatever they are for you. It doesn't have to be for anybody else or what they think's good and why it felt good for you. Because when we are focusing on those and thinking those, we're releasing kind of all of the lovely kind of brain chemicals that we want to release in, like serotonin. So in that moment when we were having that lovely cup of tea and we were like releasing that lovely serotonin, it's making us feel good. When we're thinking about it again, we're releasing more of it again. So that's just a great little habit to get into at the end of the day before bed and just sit down and think, actually, what's been good today, and write it down, however small it is. It doesn't have to be those big moments. Just helps us to focus in on what the good is in our everyday, and we're not constantly looking out for those big momentous things all the time. So those have been my kind of little tips to take away.
Those are awesome. I'm going to have to try some of those.
It.
Okay. So if someone wants to get a hold of you, to see about working with you, or if they've got any questions, what is the best way to reach, how is the best way to reach you? Do you have a website, or are you on Instagram or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. My website would be a great place to go and find more information. So that's just www.vickyhaig.co.uk, because that's going to give you a lot more to kind of look through, and you can contact me through there.
Okay, so I'll put that on the show notes.
It's Vicky Haig.
Oh, see, the Zoom went out again. So, sorry. Okay, so I'm going to put the website on the show notes, and the Instagram you said was, I'm sorry, it came out, and then, yeah.
That's okay. It's fine. There's like, oh, you can find me on Facebook, just under
Vicky Haig. Yeah. Okay. We've been having so many Zoom issues with this. I don't know if it's Zoom or if it's the internet, but there's something going on. Okay. Thank you so much, Vicky, for coming on. That was so informative and helpful. And I love your tips. And it was great to have some of the myths about what hypnotherapy is dispelled and cleared away and
absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on, because I just love kind of talking about and dispelling some of those myths, like you say, and letting people know that it's really not that scary, and it's a great option for people who are looking for extra support.
Excellent. Thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you for listening to the Dear Loves Just Breathe podcast. If you love this podcast, don't forget to subscribe. And if you want to know more about the Declutter Your World, Master Your Space and Life program, check out the show notes for more information. Have a great day.